Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We're happy to welcome you today at our press conference. We are continuing a series of our press conferences running to our AGM here at Gazprom. Today, we're going to discuss Gazprom in international markets. The press conference is hosted by Deputy Chairman of Gazprom's Management Committee, General Director of Gazprom Export, Elena Burmistrova, Head of Department Dmitry Kondogo, and Head of Legal Directorate at Gazprom Export, Andrey Borisov. Now, over to Elena Burmistrova for an introductory presentation. After that, we're going to take questions, and we have an hour to go. Ms. Burmistrova, over to you.
Thank you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm happy to see you again, even in this already habitual online format. I'm happy to discuss the most relevant export-related matters of Gazprom, dealing with pipeline gas supplies and LNG supplies, and also our new gas transportation projects and global markets as a whole. Last year was challenging. A few challenging factors that were seen in early 2020 in the global gas market were complemented by the coronavirus pandemic, having affected the whole global economy. In spring and summer, spot prices touched their all-time lows. We see Gazprom's supply volumes also reduced last year, reflecting the overall slump in the market. Last year, regardless of very dramatic fluctuations of the market situation, Gazprom managed to remain the key natural gas supplier to Europe, playing a stabilizing role in the markets and contributing to offsetting imbalances related to inflows or outflows of LNG. Our export policy, even against this challenging backdrop, has proven effective and efficient. Gazprom managed to lead through the crisis period with some decent financial performance. Page three, please. The flexible business model delivered by Gazprom helped us live through the crisis period with minimum losses and remain our leading position in the key European market. Our market share there is still around one-third. Actual performance metrics of our operations show that the way we have chosen was the right choice. In particular, in Q1 this year, European natural gas consumption was up some 9%, and Gazprom's natural gas exports were up more than 26%. Today, it's plain to everyone that last year's market situation is highly unlikely to repeat. And now we have no underground inventory oversupply. We have an acute need to recover the inventories. Europe and Turkey have just 33.6 BCM of underground inventory, which is way below recent years' averages. European countries are still struggling to address the gap in underground inventory injections after the cold winter. According to Gas Infrastructure Europe, the negative gap is not shrinking, coming in at 34 BCM still. Starting the 6th of May, the backlog frozen together with the low temperature in the street. In European capitals, people still wear warm jackets in May, and the maximum negative gap amounted to 34.1 BCM at a negative peak level. According to European experts, this is an unprecedented low level. However, significant volumes of LNG did not end up in Europe. Today, they are flowing out to Asia, and the recovery of the European economy after the crisis will lead to high energy demand. And so, this will support further demand growth against the backdrop of reductions in indigenous production in Europe. Against this backdrop, Gazprom is implementing its key strategic projects to strengthen its foothold and establish new markets. This helps us mitigate not just risks and reduce transit expenses, but also decrease our environmental footprint. Last January, we brought on Stream to Extreme. Also, Nord Stream 2 construction was resumed in the middle of last December. Now, a couple of key things about the project before you ask your relevant questions. Specific timing of Nord Stream 2 completion and times to bring it in stream are something we would like to avoid discussing today because they will be dependent on a number of factors, including weather. Information about the actual project implementation is disclosed in great detail by the project operator, Nord Stream 2 AG. We believe this commercial project will be highly demanded by European off-takers, and we are doing our utmost to successfully complete the project. Talking about the third energy package and updating the gas directive of the European Union, let me say that Gazprom Group and the project company keep protecting their interests using all available legal means. In any case, we always operate within the applicable, let me emphasize here, law. Also, Gazprom is ramping up Power of Siberia supplies to the most promising global market, Chinese. In 2020, we delivered 4.1 BCM of natural gas via the Power of Siberia. In Q4, during the cold winter period, at the request of the Chinese party, we delivered more than we had committed to under our contract. Our supplies to China are always a relevant topic. Let me take you through our position before you ask relevant questions going forward today. Now, Gazprom keeps negotiating with the Chinese partners on future supply projects. As of today, I have confirmed results of a feasibility study for the project to construct Soyuz-Vostok pipeline through the territory of Mongolia to form a continuation of Power of Siberia 2. We have incorporated an SPV, approved the prospective route and the key technical and economic parameters. We have started a detailed feasibility study, and the actual timeline of the project implementation will depend on the results of negotiations on the terms and conditions of the deliveries by the parties. Gazprom has a sufficient resource base to meet the growing demand for gas in China via the Eastern route and via other future projects to deliver pipeline gas to China. Gazprom has built up an efficient and flexible contract portfolio which boosts our resilience to market fluctuations and helps us remain competitive and also retain our market positions. We develop the capabilities of our electronic sales platform, introducing new trading instruments and keep penetrating new markets. Gas sales here were up nearly twofold year on year, up to as high as 27.1 BCM. Last year was marked with a step up in LNG exports. We doubled our sales volumes from our LNG portfolio and also the number of destination countries. We have expanded our trading activities in spot and short-term markets quite dramatically. We delivered the first cargo of a brand new product for us, which is carbon-neutral LNG. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to complete my brief introduction with a proactive look forward. Environmental agenda opens up new exciting opportunities for natural gas in the near term and in the long run. I'm confident that Gazprom's task is not just to be the key supplier of natural gas to global markets. We also see huge potential in contributing to resilience, efficiency, and reliability of the markets. We also see a huge potential of natural gas as a green and lean energy source for decades to come, and this indeed makes us optimistic about our future prospects. Ladies and gentlemen, it stands to Thank you for your time and attention. Now, my team and I will be happy to take your questions.
Спасибо, переходим к сессии вопросов.
Thank you. It's time to start our Q&A session now. The first question comes from Alexei Novikov. Please go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Bemestrova, I have a couple of questions. I understand these will be relevant for the other attendees of the press conference. First, is Gazprom going to tender for new gas transportation capacities through Ukraine, scheduled for the 25th of March? Will you ask your questions at a time or one by one? I can do it at a time. So is Gazprom going to use the mechanism of commodity repo for underground gas inventories in Europe? Could you please share your approaches to the Baltic LNG gas marketing? We understand from previous comments that you consider the whole product range of this plant as your own portfolio, your own products. Are you going to buy it out, or are there going to be any other long-term buyers? So what's the understanding of the timeline relevant to Usluga? Could you please share your plans to inject natural gas into underground storage facilities in Europe? As we can see, Gazprom is not boosting the inventories. When do you think the European gas balance will achieve a stage at which you will be able to start ramping up? What is, Ellen, excuse me, could you please say your previous question, ask your previous question again, I didn't hear that. Could you please share your plans to inject natural gas to European underground gas storage facilities in order to recover, restore your inventories in Europe? As we can see, Gazprom is currently failing to. When do you think the European balance will achieve a stage at which you will be able to start injecting natural gas into underground gas storage facilities? Will you be able to use the Yamal LNG from your portfolio, among other things, for that purpose, which is Gazprom's policy in terms of natural gas purchase from the Central Asia? Last year, we saw a discontinued supply from Uzbekistan to Gazprom's portfolio. What are your expectations for this year when it comes to Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan? You know, one could draft a thesis around your questions, moderator. Okay, Alexei, let's put it on hold here for the other attendees to be able to ask their questions as well. Elena Bumestrova, Alexei, are you representing a trade union here? Where, I mean, you have asked for a list of questions, so I've provided that. Thank you, thank you. You've exhilarated our press conference from the very beginning. So let's start with your first question. This is the additional auction scheduled on the 25th of May. Well, traditionally, we do not disclose this sort of information about our plans, and so I would like to stick to our habitual practices answering this question as well. Let me emphasize that we do meet all the requests and needs of our customers. The second question was about commodity repo. Are we planning for that or not? Now, I don't remember when we are going to have a similar press conference hosted by our CFO. I think you will be able to ask that question to my colleagues at the financial press conference. Now, Baltic LNG marketing. Well, today we are talking to Rosgaz Dobycha about marketing strategies to help to subsequently sell LNG coming from this project, in what destinations and in what volumes. Now let me see what your next question was. I think natural gas injections into European underground gas storage facilities. I mean, I would answer it in the following way. Just like in all previous years, we're going to inject the volumes that will be able to support all our supplies. The cold period in Europe, as I have emphasized earlier today, has became much longer this year. Traditionally, we would start injecting into underground in April. And this year, we actually saw offtakes from underground inventories towards the very end of April, and only after that it became possible to start injections. So given this long and cold winter, I wouldn't rule it out that the injection period will also get longer and go beyond October. But the numbers are too sensitive to give them off the top of my head here and now. I think that does answer your question now. The next one, what was it? Yeah. Oh, you said Gazprom was failing to inject natural gas into underground facilities. I wouldn't articulate it that way because we do inject. But first, we have to take care of customer requests and only then inject natural gas into underground facilities. I hope Mother Nature will make us happy. You can see this early summer in St. Petersburg, so we hope the weather will get back to normal across Europe, and so injection pace will certainly get more active. I think I'm done with the questions in my list. Was there anything else? Oh, yeah. Central Asia and purchasing policies. You know, Central Asian countries are now growing and developing very dynamically, and especially this is the case with Uzbekistan. And we see consumption growing at a fast pace in the nation. So, in this or that, to this or that extent, purchases, natural gas purchases are reducing because the nation is directing more gas for its own needs. This is about Uzbekistan. Also, a couple of years ago, we have addressed and resolved all our disagreements with the with Turkmenistan, and so we're off-taking, and with Kazakhstan, this is just the same. We're working, we are purchasing volumes, we are off-taking the gas, so we haven't seen any major change over the recent couple of years. Thank you very much. So the press conference Ms. Bomasova has mentioned will take place on the 16th of June. The subject will be financial and economic policy of Gazprom. Dear attendees, please ask not more than 3 questions each for everyone to be able to ask their questions today. Thank you. Now, the floor goes to Admin Akhadov, gas industry. Hello, colleagues. To strike the right balance, overall, I will ask just one question. So, natural gas has proven to be a reliable energy source in this past cold winter, and natural gas managed to live through the 2020 crisis with quite decent performance and positions. Do you think these factors will become a breaking point, a U-turn for the global community, for it to stop calling natural gas just a bridge fuel? Elena Burmistrova, thank you very much for your question. Indeed, this is the right one, and this is a good one. I think all my colleagues, all natural gas professionals, were sort of proud to see the situation of 2020. Regardless of the sad coronavirus pandemic, certainly this affected the lives of nations, companies, and households quite dramatically, making living conditions and operating conditions quite hard. Certainly, we saw natural gas demand go down in Europe, hand in hand with a slump in production. But everyone stayed home, so they needed some light and heat in their homes. And so we were proud enough to see the pivotal role that natural gas played, in particular thanks to Gazprom's supplies to Europe. Now, it seems to me, at least what we can see in research, at least what we can read, is now free of any loud statements about purely electric world where natural gas would be seen not as a core but as a supportive or ancillary fuel. In 2020, some nations, some European nations, appear to be on the fringe of blackouts, especially in cold winter months, and natural gas served as a reliability instrument for supply chains because they were able to respond fast enough to the challenges and use natural gas for power generation. I hope we will have an opportunity to talk to my colleagues at the St. Petersburg Economic Forum, and I think those matters will be discussed among the largest oil and gas companies of Europe. I think everyone has appreciated that. Reliability, timeliness, and flexibility in terms of taking care of all our contractual commitments. Certainly, this does reiterate a pivotal role of natural gas and its immense significance for Europe's energy mix. Thank you. Thank you. Next question, Ludmila Podobeda, RBC. Okay. Well, there has already been a question about European capacity. Let me ask about Turkey. When will Turkish off-takers start paying off debt with regards to Gazprom, in particular the $2 billion plus debt to households, attributable to households? Is Gazprom going to further compete with alternative suppliers to the Turkish market to develop its position in the country? Elena Burmistrova. Well, we are not going to fight with anyone, but we're going to compete, which has been proven by the situation of Q1 this year. So the supplies, the deliveries are not reducing, they're growing, especially on a year-on-year basis. This reiterates the fact that we are ramping up according to our commitments, and the price is quite competitive, and the Turks have been and are still off-taking our supplies from the Blue Stream and from the Turk Stream. So supplies are quite, and takes and offtakes are quite vibrant. Talking about the arbitrations that we won on the $2 billion, this is a commercial matter. Certainly, we do not remove our requirements and claims, and at the same time, we keep negotiating in parallel. This is a common commercial practice. And what about the price reduction the Turks wanted? Is there a mechanism, or is Gazprom against changing the formula? We keep holding commercial negotiations. Certainly, this is very sensitive information. I am not ready to disclose it now. Can I ask you a follow-up on something you have said earlier today about Gazprom's share in the European market? You said it was around one-third. How has it changed on a quarter-on-quarter basis? On a year-on-year basis in 20 and 2021. Elena Burmistrova, well, you understand that the numbers are indicative. One-third will be 30-something. I will dig the precise numbers up and update you offline, okay? Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. Next question, Bloomberg, Dina Krennikova. Hello. Could you please tell me, given the European situation, has Gazprom changed its focus to deliver supply volumes to far abroad countries in 2021? What's the number? And what is the projection for this year? Also, what about LNG? Do you think your position is more competitive now, given the growth in prices? Elena, Dina, thanks for your questions. Well, as far as prices are concerned, I understand you watched quite carefully the numbers that were budgeted, among other things. It was 168. Then in our CMD presentation in April, was quite careful with the numbers, slightly above 200, 200 to 206 or to 209. I understand our line of thinking is the same because we see growth across European hubs and the situation with very low underground inventories, with virtually empty underground facilities, is certainly supportive to the price, and we do not expect the price will go down in the near future. But last year helped us learn a lot. In particular, we learned that projections from industry analysts sometimes come true, but not always, and not always timely enough. So I would abstain from making any hard statements now as to what kind of price we expect. When we get closer towards our budget update, we will consider this. Talking about volumes, at the Investor Day, we gave a range from 175 to 183 BCM of natural gas in 2021 to be delivered to the far abroad. We reiterate this number at this point in time. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Next question, JP Morgan, Angelina Glazova. Dina, excuse me, and competition from foreign LNG in Europe, my last question. Elena Bumasrova, now we see LNG flow into Asia from Europe. This process has started. In Q1 2021, for example, the utilization of regas terminals was down from 62 to 44% year on year. So I wouldn't mention any acute competition these days. Does that answer your question, Dina? Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. Next question, Angelina Glazova, JP Morgan. Hello. Thanks for an opportunity to ask my questions. Actually, I have just one question, but it will be multifold, so to speak. We have discussed the natural gas market situation currently, the high natural gas demand, quite low inventory volumes in Europe. We see that Gazprom has booked additional capacities for Ukrainian transit this year, but not to material capacities. We understand that certainly it's the most important for Gazprom to deliver natural gas and to take care of contractual commitments. But talking about the price according to the current strategy, would it be right to say that the current Gazprom strategy is to maintain prices at a higher level to constrain supply volumes to some extent? Will this approach change as soon as Nord Stream 2 is introduced? And also, in this context, could you please explain how is Gazprom using its electronic sales platform? In particular, this year, you have shared some facts and numbers for last year, but what's the current type of contracts traded at ESP, long-term, short-term, seasonal, and so on? Elena Burmistrova, thank you very much for your question, I think. It's important to answer your first question, first and foremost, about booking capacities and about a statement according to which Gazprom allegedly artificially maintains demand. This is not a correct statement. So we book in strict compliance with requests and applications from our customers, off-takers that we deliver to. And in parallel, as I have already said, due to brisk demand, we haven't been injecting natural gas into underground gas storage facilities. We deliver natural gas to off-takers directly. So now we have started injecting natural gas into underground inventory. So unfortunately, I can't confirm your statement about artificial demand maintained by Gazprom. This is not correct. What was your next question? Is our strategy going to change? So our strategy is not going to change. Again, the key thing for us is to take care of our commitments to deliver natural gas to meet the requests of our customers. As soon as Nord Stream 2 comes on stream, we will be able to meet incremental demand because just like I said previously at press conferences, we have additional volume requests and applications. Oleg Exutin showed the growing European demand in his presentation the day before yesterday. He showed this import niche that is going to be there in the market, and we are ready to meet all those requests and applications with our volume, because we do have the required capacity, resources, and reserves. So this is rather a matter of the future. This is a matter of future ramp-up of supplies, and this is something we are ready for. Talking about the electronic sales platform, this has proven to be a very useful additional instrument in 2020. We started selling natural gas by a new type of deliveries, including to Turkey. We piloted those very successfully. In the European market, we extended the pool of customers represented at the ESP. We expanded the number of contract types and delivery points. Now, we see a trend. We estimate our cash flows, and we prefer making an integrated assessment of our portfolio as a whole. Mid-term, short-term contracts and so on, and currently our preference is to sell longer-term deliveries through the ESP, spanning up to a year in terms of the delivery time. Does that answer your question? Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Now we have a question from S&P Global Platts. Let me read it out. Actually, there are two questions. The first one, since mid-March, Gazprom Export has been selling gas on the ESP only for delivery in 2022. Why have you stopped selling gas for day-ahead delivery or near-term delivery? This is the first one. And the second one, now in April, Mazbul Mistrova said Gazprom's gas exports to the far abroad would be in the range of 175 to 183 BCM. Would this be an exceptional year, 2021? Before, Gazprom had said it wanted to supply some 200 BCM per year. Or is this range a sort of a new normal? Elena Bumistrova, thanks for the questions. Well, actually, I have already answered the question about the ESP, talking to the previous asker. Now, I can only repeat, we analyze the whole portfolio of our contracts as a complex, and now we understand it makes more economic sense for us to offer longer delivery times. From the financial perspective, this makes more economic sense. Now, talking about the second question, I understand I've also answered that earlier today. We do maintain the range of 175 through 183 in 2021. Talking about an exceptional nature of this year, well, I wouldn't say that. I would say 2020 was an exceptional year. And now we're getting back to normal. In terms of supply volumes, we see the European economy recover, and certainly I hope we will have some pleasant surprises this year. Last year we had unpleasant surprises, and I hope this will reverse this year. We are not giving up. We're not giving up the numbers, the guidance numbers we shared a year ago or 2 years ago, but watching the current market situation, we prefer to be on the conservative end of the spectrum, hence the range of 175 through 183 BCM per annum reiterated. Thanks. Tatiana Kiseleva, Russia Today. Hello. Ms. Bumistrova, by 2025, Gazprom is going to more than double LNG exports. Recently, this has been said by a representative of Gazprom Export. I understand the current level is in excess of 7 million tons that you delivered last year. So through which sources are you going to boost the volume, given the fact that Baltic LNG has not yet started being constructed? I understand the first train is only set to come on stream in 2024 or something. Are you considering in your long-term contract with Novatek to get some LNG from Arctic LNG too, from the new project? Elena Burmistrova, thanks for your question. This is like a sweetened question for us, because in 2020 we did double LNG sales. Now, we're not talking about physical additional purchases. We're talking about Russian projects. We're talking about portfolio, because we did many trading operations, meaning we sourced in Europe and resold in Asia, and also we delivered to Asia directly. And the year 2020 was a challenging one, and our LNG team did a very good job, because we had expected way more pessimistic outcomes. And in that shock, we learned how to respond quickly to market challenges. So we managed to double our portfolio and demonstrated some pretty good financial performance metrics. Now, I wouldn't say that this would be just purchases from Baltic LNG. This will be global trading across the globe. But as to Baltic LNG, we are now talking to our colleagues from Rosgazdobycha as to how marketing will work there, and how we'll market actually the products of this project. Talking about Novatek, you well know that we have a contract to the tune of 2.5 million tons. The supplies are directed to India, and we managed to live through the challenge in 2020, and we still keep supplying natural gas to India, regardless of the currently painful, catastrophic situation that we see in India. I mean, amidst this coronavirus pandemic and the new type of virus. Talking about Novatek and Arctic LNG, we are not holding any additional negotiations now. Talking about the train that has already been constructed and is being commissioned now, this is in scope of our contract. Probably we will talk about some additional volumes with our colleagues, but no negotiations of this type are the case today. Thank you. Thank you. Oksana Kobzeva, Reuters, please go ahead. Oksana Kobzeva, please ask your question. Oksana is having trouble connecting, most likely. Okay, then let's pass the floor to Nikkei of Japan. Please go ahead. Hello, can you hear me? Yes, we can. Thank you. My name is Ishikawa. My first question, could you please tell me about the prospects of the third train of Sakhalin 2 plant? Is there any progress in terms of the resource base? What are the obstacles that you currently see there? And my second question is the following. Have you already established a representative office of Gazprom in Japan? In what format? And what was your thinking behind opening the representative office? Thank you. Elena Burmistrova, thank you very much for the questions. I'm really happy to see Japanese journalists at our press conference. Earlier today, we have a session with our key Japanese off-takers, Sakhalin Energy, and we were happy to see them, at least online, and we're also happy to see you. Now let me start with your second question about our representative office. We are in progress of opening the rep office. This has been practically opened already, but given the restrictions, given the lockdown, our representative cannot physically get to the representative office to actually start doing things, but this is the main obstacle. So the work is underway. Why has it been done? It's plain. Japan is one of our key sales markets, as last year shows in 2020 we delivered significant amounts of LNG there. We are doing a lot exchanging our competences and knowledge on the R&D side. Recently we have met the Agency for Natural Resources and so on and so forth. We work closely and systemically with our Japanese partners, and we do praise this work very highly. So we decided it would make sense to have our local representative there to be able to feel the rhythm of the country on its fingertips, so to speak, to help us promote our operations there. Talking about the third train of Sakhalin 2, I would hand it over to Dmitry Kandaga. Dmitry Kandaga, thank you. Ms. Bomestrova, as you well know, the third train of Sakhalin 2 is at a high degree of readiness. We have drafted project design documents with our partners. We have prepared a set of documents for construction contracts, but the resource base matter is pending, so I would abstain from making any statements now on behalf of Gazprom. First, this is a multifold process. In particular, Sakhalin Energy is a shareholder, and also prospective natural gas sources are also multiple. So I wouldn't comment on it now. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Oksana Kobzeva, Reuters. Oksana, please go ahead. Oksana, can you hear us? We can't hear you. We have trouble connecting. Okay. Then let us get back there a bit later. Matvey Katkov, The Vedomosti. Hello, Ms. Bomestrova. My question is also about the Asian markets. Are you going to consider pipeline projects to India and others? Also, the power of Siberia. You said that when could we expect a decision of the partners? Thank you. Let me start with the first question. Today, we are not considering to construct any gas pipeline to India. Indeed, a few years ago, there were some talks about it. In particular, the Indian party suggested that idea. But you understand, this would be too capital-intensive a route. We have the so-called flexible pipeline to India. In 2020, we delivered some 1.8 million tons in the form of LNG. Talking about the power of Siberia, again, in my presentation, I have actually mentioned that our technical experts, in March this year, our technical experts flew over the Mongolian territory, preliminarily considered the route, or rather, a prospective route of the gas pipeline. As I have said, a pre-feasibility study is over. Now we are talking about a detailed feasibility study, and as soon as this work is over, we will update you. And the question, we can't hear you. Yeah, and what about a pipeline to Japan, Elena Bomestrova? We are not considering that project now. Especially given we can deliver LNG to Japan, addressing the relevant demand. Thank you. Next question, Tatiana Dattel, Kommersant. Hello, colleagues. Quite a few questions have been asked today. Let me ask you about long-term expert contracts extension this year. What are you going to extend these days? Italy, Hungary, Turkish importers, seem to have their contracts expiring. What is their current expectation as to index lengths? What are the timelines and volumes? Also, I have a question about the Baltic LNG project and about the sales of the gas. How are you going to avoid competing with the pipeline gas, and how are you going to offer this to your prospective partners, Italy, Germany, Turkey, to further extend operation? Elena Bumasova, thanks. Thank you for your question. This is interesting. The first part is less interesting, so to speak. Certainly, we are working to extend the currently established contracts. You have enumerated nearly all the counterparties correctly. It's obvious that I won't be able to disclose the details. These are highly sensitive. Commercial negotiations are underway. Certainly, as soon as we have signed the contracts, we will be able to make a more detailed disclosure. Now, unfortunately, I won't be able to disclose that. The second question, notes in the Baltics. Now, this is why Gazprom Export exists as a company. I mean, to regulate Gazprom's sales portfolio to the far abroad. So this will serve as an element to streamline, to optimize our sales rather than an internal competition instruments. There are a variety of mechanisms. We are working on a variety of supply models, but we consider this to be an optimizing component of our portfolio, not an internally competing element. Thank you. Does it answer your question? Could you please update us on the swaps? Well, swaps, I mean, what you may call it? I mean, it wouldn't be right to disclose this information in detail. Prospectively, swaps are interesting and prospectively useful, but based on our detailed market studies, market research over the recent 2 years, swaps do not necessarily work well at this or that given point in time. A lot depends on when, under what conditions contracts were signed. Is this Europe to Europe or Asia to Europe? These will be differentiating elements. On the one hand, it's clear. These are clear economic models. They work. They may work or may not work at this or that point in time. We will certainly consider swap transactions, among other things. When the LNG market approaches the oil market in terms of its global nature, certainly arbitration will become more widespread, but the LNG market has not yet approached that stage, but this is confidently growing to become a truly global one. Thank you. Argus Media, Anastasia Gurieva. Anastasia Gurieva, Argus Media, over to you. Hello, can you hear me? Yes, we can. Ask a question, please. Could you please update me about the following? You're currently considering some 4 to 5 pipelines to China, from Sakhalin, then the Bay of Siberia, too, then from Western Siberia, from the Altai, and also the extension of Power of Siberia 1 by an additional 6 BCM. So, which would be the easiest and the fastest to implement of these projects, and which is your current priority? Or which is the Chinese party's top priority? My second question, is Gazprom considering an opportunity to deliver natural gas to Italy through a trans-Adriatic pipeline, which is expected to be extended in terms of capacity going forward? My third question, which is, in your opinion, the minimum level of underground inventory in Europe for you to be able to deliver gas via the pipeline? Anastasia, thank you very much. Then let me get back to Elena Bumistrova's presentation, the introductory presentation did contain the information about China. This is what we were going to disclose, and we did. Now, over to Elena Burmistrova. Yeah, the Transadriatic gas pipeline, we do know well about the existence of that pipeline system, but it comes plain that we have our own projects, pipelines. First and foremost, this is the Turk Stream, which is successfully delivering gas to Turkey. Also, there is a system of national gas midstream operators through which we are already feeding gas successfully. So I believe we are quite capable of meeting European demand through our established pipeline projects. I think I have answered your question. Yes, you did. Thank you. Now, talking about the levels, I mean, this is, again, sensitive information. I wouldn't like to disclose it publicly. What is being published by midstream operators can be found on relevant websites, but I would abstain from giving precise numbers. I hope for your understanding this would be commercial sensitive information to disclose. Thank you. Next question, TASS. Hello. Can you hear me? Can you see me? Yes. Macron, in a recent interview, complained, or rather shared the unhappiness, saying that Gazprom could stop transiting gas through Ukraine after Nord Stream 2 comes on stream. How high is this probability? Are you considering stopping the transit post 2024, or is it rather about reducing transit volumes? Elena Burmistrova, thanks for your question. First, I'm not ready to comment on our colleagues' statements that you have referred to. It would be right to mention that we have a standing contract and the annual delivery volumes are well known to everyone, and we do meet all our commitments systemically. Thank you. Next question, Energy Intelligence, Vitaly Sokolov. Hello. I have a few questions. First, Elena Burmistrova, at your Investor Day, you said that 13% of exports last year was oil indexed. Could you please share a breakdown of your contract portfolio? What is the share of the net oil index in the whole portfolio? How large is the hub-linked element, hybrid element? Now, as for contracts, I understand you can't disclose negotiation details, but generally, have you started talking to Poland? Poland is claiming they're not going to extend a supply contract with Gazprom. Have you initiated negotiations from your end at the same time? Now, my next question, Asia. In Mongolia, are you just talking about transit, or are you talking about delivering natural gas to Mongolia? If the latter is the case, then what volumes are planned? Maybe you're planning for some projects to stimulate demand. Now, China, about the current supplies. You are currently delivering more than you have committed to. Do you have any indicative projections as to how much you will be able to deliver this year? And do you have any fresh data for April? Thank you for your questions, Vitaly. So the first question was about our contract mix. Okay. You are a very attentive person. We indeed shared the contract mix. 13% is oil-linked, 56.1% is spot-linked, and 30.9% is forward-linked. 30.9. This is the contract mix. And the second question was about Mongolia. Now, again, let me reiterate, we have already told you about what we are doing in Mongolia. We have Gazprom's golden rule. You first sell the natural gas and only then you construct the pipeline to deliver that. So after all possible negotiations with all possible counterparties are over, we will certainly provide this information. Now, China and the current supplies rather than prospective projects. I understand you are a very attentive follower. I understand this data has already been announced in customs statistics. I think it would be, in Q1 we delivered some 2.6 BCM. We take care about all our commitments. I can even share a secret or something. The Chinese partners were very much surprised with how reliable our pipeline deliveries are, because on specific winter days, when they asked for more gas to be supplied, we met those requests, and this appeared to be a new approach, because before they had never come across anything like that from any of their historical counterparties, and they were surprised with Gazprom taking care of their incremental requests. And I hope this will further strengthen the foundation for the delivery of Russian gas to China. Now, Poland, your next question. Poland is our reliable counterparty, a great nation with which we cooperate a lot. Traditionally, our negotiations are continuing, regardless of historic realia. We, fortunately, live and operate within the economic dimension. There are some political statements, there are some corporate statements from other companies, but we keep working, we keep operating, we have a few disputes and disagreements with Poland, but we keep working, keep negotiating. Oscar, please update me. I understand 13% last year was sold at a price which is linked to oil. I understand you have hybrid formula contracts. So I understand the 13% was sold at a price linked to oil, maybe a contract being not oil linked purely. How large is the share of your contracts that is purely oil linked, where the offtake cannot choose among alternatives? Elena Bomestrov, a hybrid contract may also be oil-linked. Oscar, yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is why I'm asking you about purely oil-linked contracts and hybrid contracts. I'm not asking you about the mix you have disclosed at the investor day, like hubs, mixes, and so on. Elena Bomestrov, I wouldn't give you this level of detail now. Oscar, yeah, I wanted just to compare to benchmark data. Elena Bomestrov, we'll think about what we will be able to disclose to you, what we'll be able to share with you offline. Colleagues, thank you very much. We have been working for an hour already. Our final question from Reuters, let me read it out now. Is Gazprom discussing a partnership with Qatar in any sphere before the St. Petersburg Economic Forum? In which form, and are you considering any investment projects together? Elena Bomestrova, I don't understand why Reuters is this dramatically, technically discriminated against. But anyway, we are currently not talking about any joint investment projects, but certainly contacts with Qatar is prospectively interesting to us, at least in the sphere of LNG trades and understanding the experience of companies from Qatar. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Our next press conference will take place on the 27th of May. We will discuss production complex and gas processing investment projects. Thank you very much. Thank you.